听力课堂，听 class.com。
Unit 17, For a Cleaner Planet. Part 1, Getting Ready. A. The following words and phrases will appear in this unit. Listen carefully and study the definitions.
1. Rainforest. 2. Extinction. 3. Species. 4. Equator. 5. Substance. 6. Air conditioning. 7. Recycle. 8. Additive. 9. Fuel. 10. Release.
B. Here is a conversation between a mother and a son, from which you can learn something about the rainforests. After that, some questions will be asked. Supply the missing words in answering them.
What are you doing?
I'm making a poster to save the rainforest.
Is this a school project?
Yes. We're also going around getting signatures on a petition.
What have you learned about rainforests?
We learned that tropical rainforests cover just 7% of the Earth's land. But today, most of the world's rainforests are in danger of extinction by loggers, farmers, and developers.
That is a tragedy. Most people don't know that half of the world's plant and animal species live in rainforests. So what else have you learned?
That most rainforests are near the Earth's equator, where there is almost no change in temperature or growing season.
Do you know how much it rains in a rainforest?
They get about 53 to 105 inches per year.
Hey, I'm impressed.
We've got to find a way to save the beautiful rainforest. Would you like to make a donation?
Sure. Here's $5.
Thanks.
What are you going to use it for?
To buy me a snack while I'm working on this poster.
Come back here. Questions. 1. What is the boy doing? 2. How much of the Earth's land do tropical rainforests cover? 3. Who are mainly responsible for destroying the rainforests? 4. According to the mother, how many plant and animal species live in the rainforest? 5. What is the climate near the Earth's equator like? 6. How much does it rain per year in a rainforest? 7. How much money does the mother contribute? 8. How is the boy going to use the money?
Part 2. The Campaign for Clean Air, CCA. A. You are going to hear some words and phrases taken from a radio interview. Listen and read the explanation of their meaning. Try to familiarize yourself with these words and phrases.
1. Pollutant. 2. Sulfur dioxide. 3. Acid. 4. Emission. 5. Carbon dioxide. 6. Carbon monoxide. 7. Dose. 8. Reflex. 9. Greenhouse effect. 10. Ice cap.
B. You are going to hear a radio program in which Peter Whitehead interviews Francis Kelly on the problem of air pollution. While listening for the first time, add more key words in the left-hand column. After the second listening, fill in the gaps in the summaries.
The Campaign for Clean Air has just passed a report on air pollution, and we have in the studio Francis Kelly of the CCA, who's going to tell us something about the dangers we face from air pollutants.
Hello.
Let's start with sulfur dioxide, which causes acid rain. I thought the government was doing something about that.
Well, they are, but slowly. Sulfur dioxide emissions from power stations are still going on, and the resulting acid rain is still killing off fishes and plant life in lakes and destroying the forests. And we in Britain are among the worst victims when it comes to this kind of pollution.
What are the other pollutants?
Carbon monoxide and carbon dioxide. Carbon monoxide, which is mostly produced by motor vehicles, can, even in small doses, cause sickness and a slowing of the reflexes, and there is strong evidence to show that it has an effect on the growth of children.
And carbon dioxide?
Well, in a way, this is the least dangerous of the pollutants we've mentioned, but in the longer term, it may be the most damaging.
Why?
There is clear evidence that the buildup of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere is the main cause of the greenhouse effect. This will have dreadful results like the melting of the polar ice caps and subsequent flooding of low-lying areas.
So what you're saying is that the increased amounts of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere is making it warmer?
Yes, that's right, and the results will be disastrous.
And what should we be doing about this?
Frankly, the government has got to impose far stricter controls on these emissions and make laws to deal with the problem.
Francis Kelly, thank you very much.
Thank you.
After the news, we hope to be talking to the Minister of Environment, Patrick Hilliard.
Part 3. Traffic Pollution. A. In this section, you are going to hear several people discussing the problem of traffic pollution with a government official, Barbara Fielding. While listening for the first time, add more key words in the left-hand column. After the second listening, answer the questions.
Right. Our first caller is Frederick Bowles. Are you there, Mr. Bowles?
Yes, I am.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And, what have you got to say on the subject of traffic pollution?
Well, I think there are too many private cars on the road. Now, that is what causes traffic congestion and also pollution. Now, the way to solve the problem, in my opinion, isn't to build more roads. We should be improving our public transport instead. More buses, more railways, maybe shared taxis.
I see. So, Mr. Bowles thinks that the government should spend less money on building more roads and more money on improving public transport. Barbara Fielding, what do you have to say to that?
Well, Mr. Bowles, hello. You're obviously not aware that government is spending money on some forms of public transport. For example, some train services have been improved. But most people want to use their cars, Mr. Bowles, so the government needs to spend most money on improving the roads. That's where the biggest problems are.
Well, Mrs. Fielding, I think the government should do something more positive to discourage people from using their cars. Why not make people who use the roads pay a bit more?
Well, Mr. Bowles, I really can't agree with you there. It just isn't fair to make driving something that only rich people can afford. Many people need to use their cars. They're dependent on them, particularly those in the country.
Right. Thank you very much. We'll leave that point for the moment and go on to our next caller, if we may, who is Joanna Briggs. Hello, Joanna.
Hello. Well, I think that the real problem is pollution. I mean, if we all carry on polluting the atmosphere like we are now, we'll end up in the end destroying the whole planet. And I think it's just stupid the way the government are putting more and more money into roads, because that just makes the whole problem worse. I mean, what they should be doing is they should be doing everything they can to make people stop using their cars.
I see. What do you think they should be doing, for example, besides what we've already discussed?
Well, I think that really they've got to do something quite drastic, like limiting parking in towns, and in cities, making the roads narrower instead of wider, because the wider the road is, the more cars will come, and make the city centers just for pedestrians and buses, no cars at all. And then this'll make people stop using their cars in the towns altogether, because, you know, it'll simply be too difficult, and the parking will be too expensive for them.
I see. Mrs. Fielding?
Well, Joanna, it is very easy to say all that, but in a modern society, you just can't stop people using their cars. I mean, after all, the whole economy would collapse. No, 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 no. The government is trying to improve roads. Now, this helps people get to work faster, so people spend less time in their cars. And, of course, this, therefore, causes less pollution. That is the only realistic answer.
B. Now try this. Listen to a more authentic version of the telephone conversation and decide whether the statements after the conversation are true or false. Put a T or F in the brackets.
Right. Our first caller is Frederick Bowles. Are you there, Mr. Bowles?
Yes, I am.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And what have you got to say on the subject of traffic pollution?
Well, I think there are too many private cars on the road. Now, that is what causes traffic congestion and also pollution. Now, the way to solve the problem, in my opinion, isn't to build more roads. We should be improving our public transport instead. More buses, more railways, maybe shared taxis.
I see. So Mr. Bowles thinks that the government should spend less money on building more roads and more money on improving public transport. Barbara Fielding, what do you have to say to that?
Well, Mr. Bowles, hello. You're obviously not aware the government is spending money on some forms of public transport. For example, some train services have been improved. But most people want to use their cars, Mr. Bowles. So the government needs to spend most money on improving the roads. That's where the biggest problems are.
Well, Mrs. Fielding, I think the government should do something more positive to discourage people from using their cars. Why not make people who use the roads pay a bit more?
Well, Mr. Bowles, I really can't agree with you there. It just isn't fair to make driving something that only rich people can afford. Many people need to use their cars. They're dependent on them, particularly those in the country.
Right, thank you very much. We'll leave that point for the moment and go on to our next caller, if we may, who is Joanna Briggs. Hello, Joanna.
Oh, hello. Well, I think that the real problem is pollution. I mean, if we all carry on polluting the atmosphere like we are now, we'll end up, in the end, destroying the whole planet. And I think it is just stupid the way the government are putting more and more money into roads, because that just makes the whole problem worse. I mean, what they should be doing is they should be doing everything they can to make people stop using their cars.
I see. What do you think they should be doing, for example, besides what we've already discussed?
Well, I think that that really they've got to do something quite drastic, like limiting parking in towns and in cities, making the roads narrower instead of wider, because the wider the road is, the more cars will come, and make the city centres just for pedestrians and buses, no cars at all. And then this will make people stop using their cars in the towns altogether, because, you know, it'll simply be too difficult, and the parking will be too expensive for them.
I see. Mrs. Fielding.
Well, Joanna, it is very easy to say all that, but in a modern society, you just can't stop people using their cars. I mean, after all, the whole economy would collapse. Oh, no, 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 no. The government is trying to improve roads. Now, this helps people get to work faster. So people spend less time in their cars, and of course this therefore causes less pollution. That is the only realistic answer.
Statement 1. The government considers that it should spend most money on improving the roads. 2. Mrs. Fielding believes that money should not be spent on improving the public transport. 3. The first caller suggests that people should not be allowed to use their cars. 4. In Mrs. Fielding's opinion, many people in the country depend largely on their cars. 5. The second caller thinks that the earth will be destroyed if people go on polluting the atmosphere as usual. 6. The second caller thinks that the wider the roads are, the less air pollution there is. 7. Mrs. Fielding says that the whole economy will break down if the government stops people using their cars. 8. Mrs. Fielding insists that the two-collar solutions are quite unrealistic.
Part 4. More about the topic, the indoor air pollution. The following passage is about indoor air pollution. Supply the missing words while listening.
More than 500 scientists, public health officials, and other experts from 40 countries met near Washington, D.C. earlier this month. They discussed the growing problem of indoor air pollution. Many countries have spent thousands of millions of dollars during the past 20 years to make the outside air healthier to breathe. Experts say, however, that air inside buildings is often 4 to 5 times more dangerous than the air outside. The air inside is full of carbon monoxide, substances from tobacco smoke, and biological materials such as dust, insects, and molds. These harmful substances exist in all kinds of buildings, houses, schools, hospitals, and offices. Breathing them can lead to lung cancer, breathing disorders, headaches, stomach sicknesses, or ear and eye problems. Some of the worst indoor air pollution exists in developing countries where wood and coal are used for cooking. Scientists say breathing these substances may be responsible for almost 6% of the deaths around the world. Experts at the recent conference said 50% of indoor air problems are caused by heating and cooling systems. But they agreed that the problem of indoor air pollution is a local one. So they said the solutions must be local. In the United States, the Environmental Protection Agency is spending more than $10 million over 5 years to establish environmental health centers at several universities. Scientists at the centers will investigate indoor air pollution and work with local officials to improve the air quality in local buildings. James Hill is a former president of a professional group of American heating and air conditioning experts. He says experts have learned how to improve indoor air in the past 20 years. They also know how to design and take care of buildings so that the air inside will be clean. Mr. Hill says that knowledge now should lead to action. He says the goal is to teach designers, builders, and the public how to keep from polluting indoor air. Conference delegates agreed that health experts, builders, and engineers need to work together to reduce indoor pollution. They called for better use of current technology to produce safer, cleaner air inside buildings.
Part 5, Memory Test, Old Tires. You are going to hear a passage about how to deal with old tires. After that, some questions will be asked. Find the right answers as quickly as possible according to the notes you have taken while listening.
Tires from automobiles and other vehicles are a huge problem in many countries, including the United States. They often are left in fields and other spaces where they remain for years. American government officials and private industry are working on ways to deal with the problem. Unwanted tires from cars and trucks are increasing worldwide. In the United States, more than 240 million of the rubber wheel coverings are thrown away each year. That is about one used tire for every person living in the country.
In many areas, tires unsafe for road use are placed in landfills. The tires and other waste materials usually are buried under tons of dirt. This may seem like an easy solution, but it does not always work. For example, some tires buried in landfills may become uncovered. When this happens, the tires can trap water. They become a home for insects or small animals that carry diseases. The tires can also be a fire threat.
Some tires that are still safe for road use can be repaired by companies that produce tires. The repaired tires can be driven safely for many more kilometers. Many used tires cannot be repaired. In some areas, they are collected and given to companies that reuse them. The recycling companies have machines that melt down or rip the tires. The remaining particles then are used to make other products.
Some rubber products made from recycled tires include asphalt, used to cover streets, or children's play areas. Other recycled material can be used to produce chemical additives that help grass grow in open-air sports centers. Also, scientists are studying the possible use of old tires as a fuel. In the past, studies have shown that the burning of tires releases sulfur and other chemicals into the atmosphere. Now, treatments are being tested to make the tires burn cleaner. So, the tires on your car today could be the fuel of tomorrow.
Questions for memory test. 1. Where are old tires often put? 2. How many people are now living in the United States? 3. Which one of the following statements is not a danger that old tires will bring about? 4. Some tires are still safe for road use. How can they be dealt with? 5. Why does the speaker say, "The tires on your car today could be the fuel of tomorrow"?